Father, we do thank you for the gospel. And at the heart of Christmas is the heart of the gospel. We thank you that you created, and that as Adam and Eve rebelled, you invited them back, that you promised a Savior, and we are so grateful that you sent Christ. Jesus, we are so grateful that you came, that you were willing to undertake the task appointed to you, and for the joy set before you, which is the redemption of your people. You endured the cross. You endured the tomb. Spirit, we are grateful that you are the one who has indwelt us, that because we have been redeemed, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Spirit, that you would inflame us with a love for Christ, for the Father, and for you. And we ask that as we read this story, it will be both a comforting, familiar story, but that it will also speak the truth of the gospel to our hearts, that the Son has come, that the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, has entered the world, that Emmanuel, God with us, is here. Father, speak to us, change us, and help us to delight in you and in your goodness. In these few brief moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For many of you, this is a very, very familiar passage, but I want to help us to understand a few things about it afterwards. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in the manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. As I was talking with Laura after EC texted this morning, Laura had a really intriguing thought. She said, "The thing that we should talk about today is that a newborn changes everything." And some of you have not yet had the pleasure of experiencing a newborn. Some of you, it has been a long time since you had to deal with having a newborn in your home. Some of you have newborns now. But we know that a baby changes things. A baby changes all of life. Things are not the same. Joseph and Mary had exactly those same experiences as they went through the birth of Christ, except that they didn't have a home or a hospital or a nursery or all of the things that make it much easier. They didn't have a, I don't even know what they're called anymore. It's been so long since I've had a kid, but those wonderful things where you can deposit diapers. It was messy. It was tough. And they were in a manger. They were with the animals. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I do know that most of the people that I have contact with when they have a newborn you have to wash your hands. You have to have fairly clean clothes. You have to go through some fairly antiseptic procedures just to get close to the baby. I can't imagine what the lowing cattle were doing as Jesus was in the manger. But Mary and Joseph had the same responsibilities for Jesus that we have for our kids. The amazing thing is that the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, the Son, entrusted himself to the hands of bumbling parents. What a job. How do you protect the second person of the Trinity? How do you take care of the second person of the Trinity? Because for that situation, you are the parent. You are the protector of the Savior. Because you see, Jesus wasn't just an ordinary newborn. But they still had to deal with all of the ordinary newborn functions because Jesus is fully man, fully human. They had to care for him. All the while, Mary is not in a hospital, doesn't have nurses at her beck and call, doesn't have a doctor coming to check to make sure that all of the damage done in the delivery is healing properly, but she's got to take care of Jesus. And after they present him, at some point, they have to run and flee because they have to protect him by taking him into Egypt, which is actually, ironically, not so much a protection but a fulfillment of prophecy. Because out of Egypt I have called my son. Their life was tossed upside down. They didn't have the easy kind of environment that we have where we have family to help care, we have medical staff to help care, we have all of the newest conveniences. We have vans whose doors will open themselves so that you don't even have to balance the baby, the bags, and the door. But life changed. And then they had a son to raise. They had responsibility till he was mature. But this baby changed more. He isn't just a baby. When we celebrate Christ's birth today, we're not just having a wonderful birth party. We're not just coming and enjoying the fact that this baby has been born, who is just a wonderful, beautiful little child who loves to coo and giggle. We're celebrating the arrival of a Savior. And the fact that for thousands of years, Christians have celebrated at this time of year the birth of Christ, again, is an indication that he's not just a baby. He's the Savior. We sang songs this morning where we talked about the angels announcing the birth of the Savior. Let me just read a couple of the words. Angels we have heard on high sweetly singing. I don't know that it was necessarily sweetly. I think it was probably fairly profound and glorious. Singing o'er the plains and the mountains replied. Gloria in the highest. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Well, the shepherds were excited because the angels had spoken to them. That's not normal. That's not just a baby. Creation itself is responding to the birth of Christ. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee all glory be given. Word of the Father, late in flesh appearing. This is not a baby. He changes much more than a baby changes. Even in the story I just read, angels announced his birth. They announced his birth to shepherds. Typically, in something magnificent and amazing, you go to the noble, you go to the powerful, you go to the rich. They went to the shepherds. Because Jesus is a great shepherd. Shepherds found him proclaimed the message to those who were with Jesus. But it says as they left proclaiming the glory of God. Their lives were changed. These are shepherds. They're rough and tumble people who are used to handling animals and not other people. But in response to what they saw and what they heard, they worshiped. The king tries to stop him. The king recognizes that this is a threat to his power. This is something that will upset the apple cart and change all of the global politics. And so his parents flee with him to Egypt. None of us have had to run away because we had a baby. But there is even more. And so I want to focus for a couple of moments on what it means that Jesus came. In the class I'm going to teach starting in February, one of the things that is a really profound truth that both Paul and Tim point out is something they call the gospel gap. And what they're making a focus on is the fact that we know what we're saved from. Jesus came to save us from sin. He came to save us from condemnation. He came to save us from destruction. He came to save us from distance from God. He is Emmanuel. So even in his coming, he accomplishes his purpose where God is with us. We know what we're saved to, at least to some degree. We anticipate the glory of heaven. It's fairly easy for us to think about a future. When things get difficult, when things are tough, we tend to focus more on the reality of the coming glory. We tend to focus more on the fact that if now is bad, at least I can focus on the future. And we think of heaven and being in the presence of God and the end of sin, the end of sorrow, the end of pain. But where Christians tend to fall short is living in the now. What is the meaning of Christ? How does Jesus' life, death, and resurrection touch me today? And I think it's really appropriate for us to take just a little bit of time to think about on Christmas Day, where we tend to get swallowed up in culture. I mean, you are here. That's a wonderful focus on Christ. It's a focus on what the gospel means. Because many people would prefer just to stay home and enjoy a holiday. There's a promise that we experience in the holiday of Christmas because it's a giving of gifts. It's a celebration of niceness. It is a kindness that we extend to one another, which is wonderful in and of itself. But the point of Christmas is the coming of Emmanuel. And it's not just a baby. It's a baby who changes the world, not because he stays a baby, but because he grows. He is the second person of the Trinity in flesh. He is the one who has taken upon himself our humanity so that he can redeem us. And even when we think about that, it's easy to think about saved from sin, saved to heaven, but not to understand the impact of today. And so today, as you enjoy the goodness of Christmas, I want you to think about what difference does Jesus, the one whose birth I'm celebrating, make in my life today? Because as a kid, one of the things that was really fun was to get gifts. And Nathaniel was busy telling me about some of the gifts that he got this morning, including a Nerf gun with the instructions that he was to shoot his dad. But then again, let's not forget that Dad got a Nerf gun from Santa with instructions that he was in turn to shoot Nathaniel back, which is fun and it's a celebration of family. But it's not the heart of Christmas. We all have the opportunity to recognize that this baby changes us. And what's glorious about Christmas is that tomorrow, when we stop celebrating Christmas and go into the depths of cold, dark winter, yes, days are getting longer, but they're the shortest and darkest that they're going to be for the next months. As we go into the reality of life and don't have a Christmas to look forward to, we have a Savior who has come. And when you go through those dark places, and when you deal with the sorrows of life, And when you have to deal with the reality that we live as fallen creatures with other fallen creatures in a fallen world, and so you have to deal with another set of ice storms, and you have to deal with the lack of skill of drivers who wait 6 hours, not really, just 3.5, to go from Wilsonville to Vancouver, Jesus is with you. And the schedule that you want to keep and that you recognize has been blown out the window isn't as important as the Savior who's with you. I want you to be thinking, and we'll cover more of it in the class as we go, and actually we're going to talk some about it next week in the sermon that I'm preaching. What difference does Jesus make in my life today? And it's not just that now I have somebody to obey. The importance of Jesus isn't that we have to obey. The importance of Jesus is that he obeyed. And now we have the ability to love. We have the ability to be loved. And that when we're dealing with life, there is one who has both power and love, who has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so as you enjoy Christmas, and I hope you enjoy it to the full, this is a wonderful season and it's a wonderful day, but it's a picture that points to something greater. Jesus came. The second person of the Trinity became human, God in flesh, in order to pay the debt of our sins, so that we might be free in turn to experience the safety of his place in our life, but then also the freedom in that safety to love him well. The one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me pray.